Blog Talk Radio.
Are leaders born or are they made? What about women leaders? And what about those women who beat the odds and zoom to the top? As it turns out, women continue to be especially underrepresented in leadership positions in virtually all professions. None of the CEOs of the top 15 media corporations are women. Only 3% of CEOs in Fortune 500 companies are women. And the most staggering of all, women still make up an average of 77% of what men earn in similar jobs with similar experiences. And for the first time since 1970s, or in the 1970s, the number of women in Congress has declined. We'll talk to Liz Fergola and Barbara Burgo to find out how AAUW is what they're doing to generate a new bumper crop of women leaders who can shape our world. It's the last day of Women's History Month, and I'm Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Welcome to the show. You know, I looked at some of these numbers earlier, and it just blew my mind that I've been looking at the 77% of what men make for probably the 24 years that I've been doing diversity work. I've been doing this work since the early, actually since the late 80s, and it was around 75 cents then, and now it's a whopping 77 cents of every dollar that every man makes represents a woman's average income. So we're going to talk about leadership, and we're going to talk about, obviously, pay inequality is a part of this discussion, but I've brought on two experts who have the background, the knowledge, and certainly the organizational expertise to really help us to define and understand where we are as women and where women are, certainly in the United States, taking the lead within organizations and corporations. I want to welcome to my program the state president of AAUW Massachusetts. And some of you may wonder, what is AAUW? It actually is, it used to be called the American Association of University Women, a very large organization in Washington, D.C. They have branches all over the country and state presidents. And we welcome to the airwaves the Massachusetts state president, Liz Fergola, and the Taunton branch president, Barbara Burgo. Hello, Liz and Barbara. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Carol. Happy to be here.
How are you? Do you stumble over and stagger over the numbers that I just read in terms of the where women rank in terms of being in leadership roles? What's your gut reaction when you see those kind of numbers?
Well, it's not very good, I'll tell you that. Yes, it's disturbing. It's disturbing to us, certainly, all of us as women, I think, and particularly to those of us in AAUW who really are trying to work to make a change in that area. So it's quite disturbing and unsettling.
And this was, we're talking, this is Liz
Fergola, Liz,
who just responded.
Yes, right.
No problem. Barbara, what about you?
I echo Liz's comments, and disturbing, frustrating, like Carol, you say you've been in the diversity field doing this as a professional for 24 years. Mm-hmm. I will hit my 60th birthday this year, and it seems like for all of my life we have been trying to reach equity for women and girls. I will also add that, of course, as a minority woman, I am a Cape Verdean woman who lives here in Taunton, I see that just compounded in the 77 cents on the dollar. Since I started working in 1969, I have been trying to help close that gap, and it is frustrating that it's still there.
Hasn't gone up that much. You know, and again, I have a long history with AAUW, and must, full disclosure, I started my diversity work in earnest because of a lengthy AAUW, almost like a certification program that I went through when I was active with AAUW back during that time. So I owe an awful lot to AAUW, and they've always been in the forefront of women's issues. Certainly you've provided grant money for women to do all kind of amazing programs, go to amazing conferences. So you've been on the train for an awfully long time, and I'm hoping that you won't go away anytime soon.
This year, as you may have read, it's the 130th anniversary of AAUW, and just like you had to spell it out for them, we have gone to the acronym AAUW from American Association of University Women, yet there are so many women within the universities these days that have never even heard of us, so there's a lot more work to be done.
Right. So true. And also, I have to give a big shout out to my late aunt, Camilla Thomas, who was the first African-American branch member of the Columbus, Georgia branch way back in the 60s and 70s.
Wow.
And I actually learned about AAUW because of her, because she was very active in Georgia. So she's passed on, but again, you had some great women who have been a part of this organization for many, many years. Give us a sense of what AAUW is principally, their principal footprint is, and the space that they occupy, and the kind of activities that they are involved in. Liz, as state president, I'll let you take
sure.
a stab at that.
Sure. Well, you know, our mission is to advance equity for women and girls through advocacy, education, research, and philanthropy. So we cover a lot of territory there. And I would say that we, you know, we are the largest grantor of graduate fellowships for women in the U.S. We give around $3 million a year to women pursuing graduate degrees or finishing a doctoral level program, and these are both American women and international women. So we are very committed to that as education, as the vehicle towards greater participation for women in leadership roles, in governmental roles. That has always been the underpinning of AAUW, and that continues.
Right.
We,
education. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's our kind of our foundation. And we have gone off from there. Gosh, it's hard to know where to begin because we're in doing so many things. But,
right.
you know, our advocacy role is very strong. We have a strong lobby corps and public policy, governmental relations department in Washington, D.C. We are known on the Hill. And we are there. We were there when President Obama signed the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act.
Mm-hmm.
And we're instrumental in that passage. But, of course, we know that that is only one step. We still have
right.
farther to go. So
right.
we're there
well,
on that level.
Again, it's just
and
amazing.
And research is the other piece. Yeah.
And amazing what you've done. We'll get back to some of the research projects
sure.
in a few minutes. But the thing is, it's not just what is being done on the national level with AAUW. You have hundreds and hundreds of branches around the United States, and they're doing phenomenal things. I attended a Taunton branch meeting. It was a get-together during the holiday season. Great food, but a fascinating speaker who was of Lebanese descent, and I'm going to have Barbara talk about that, who literally educated us about the sectarian issues and violence that go on in Lebanon that many of us were not aware of. So, Barbara, tell us about some of the innovative programs on the local level.
Right. We always know that there's violence amongst us. Sometimes we do think of it as others. You learned about Lebanese. We have so many speakers that talk from the education level of international issues. We've had a Haitian conference. Then locally, sometimes we really tend to forget that it's happening right under our very noses.
Mm-hmm.
Greatest initiatives that we're working on right now with the Boston area branches, we're thinking of ways that we can help in the human trafficking area.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a big issue.
Yes. And, you know, I didn't recognize it myself. I'll be honest. Of course, we're leaders. We're trying to be, we're mentors to so many other women, but none of us can rest easy thinking that we've been there, done that, learned it all. Some of the women say, oh, you know, a little bit older and, you know, you've seen so many things and done so many things. How can we even compete? There are contemporary issues that we know little or nothing about. Of course,
right.
With all the this bullying on the website and all that. But the human trafficking one, I got information from National through, you know, the constant updates they send us. And mm-hmm. I saw this about human trafficking, and we always think it's someone else's issue, all these issues. I put out an email, a letter to the editor, just to say, is this a problem that anyone has been aware of? Because I didn't realize it was so, you know, common in our area, just before Super Bowl.
Yeah. It's something that we haven't talked about. I'm a member of Delta Sigma Theta, and probably 4 years ago, we took a real serious look at human trafficking and how it related not just to women in, the Soviet Union or other parts of the world, but how it related to what was going on here in this country. And now we see documentaries that are done on it, and it is certainly something that we need to address. Talk to us about the leadership piece. You know, the big tease for this program was leadership, and we see the stats, and, you know, we see that 15% of board members among Fortune 500 companies are women, only 15%. The 29% of board members on college and university boards are women. What continues to keep women in larger numbers, since we are half the population, you know, well over 157 million people in this country are women, so we're half the population, more than half. What's stopping us, Liz, I'll throw this your way, what's stopping us from really capturing those leadership roles across the board within our society? Liz Pergola.
Yeah, that's a great question, Carol, and I you know, there are many factors, but I think through some of our AAUW research and our outreach to other women, we've found that even though more women are graduating from college than men these days, and I think even there may be more women graduating from law school and medical school. However, a couple of things hold us back, and one is the whole child care, child rearing issues come up over and over again, that women are faced with a hard choice, career or family. And we try to combine both, but it doesn't always work, because if you take time off to raise a family, you often step back in your career track. And you can't always recoup those deficits. So this requires really major change in our national culture towards child rearing, whose responsibility is it, and how do we make those accommodations. But right now, the corporate world doesn't really make those accommodations very well. So that sets women back, I think. The other thing is that we're, especially women of my generation, and we're hoping to change that for the current generations, really haven't been brought up, in a sense, to believe that we are able to take these roles and these responsibilities. So that kind of change we're hoping to bring about really at the high school and college level, so that women can have experience in leadership at that level and mm-hmm. see themselves as leaders. So I think those are two major ways that, you know, we're still not where we want to be in terms of pay equity and in terms of leadership in the top level positions.
Barbara, looking sort of drilling down a little bit and looking at the younger generation, you know, my daughter's age, younger in their 30s and their 20s, do you see any indication of the tide turning, where women in this age category are understanding the roles that they play, they're able to successfully juggle work and family issues and move into leadership roles? Barbara Burgo?
Good question, Carol. I see the tide turning a little bit. It's almost like turning the Titanic, if you will. We were thinking for a little while. Maybe as they grow older, my daughters are 31 and 35 as well. Well, now she just turned 36 last week. They haven't started their families yet. But I will tell you for sure what I know is that they had gone into the workplace 15, 20 years ago thinking, well, Mom, you and your generation did it all. You made all these changes. You've been the activist for so many years. We've watched you. It's fixed. We don't need to do that anymore.
Interesting.
Until they find it happening to them. We had a great Taunton area branch program last year where we did have the daughters in, the professional, well-educated daughters of four of the members. And two of them were even lawyers and a doctor's, you know, a daughter who was a doctor. And they said they really did think it had changed, and they were shocked when they get in the workplace to find out how much more still needs to be done.
Now, that's interesting that you would say that, because you're talking about your daughters who haven't started their families yet. I have one daughter who's will be 35 this year. She's married, just had, literally last week, had her second child. And
I heard
already
that. I want to say congratulations, Carol.
Oh, thank you.
Because I heard that on your show. So congratulations, Grandma Carol.
Thank you so much. Thank you. But, I mean, you know, she's already experiencing the juggling act and the leadership role, which can be difficult in terms of navigating the ways where you have to go. Liz, are you finding with young women in this age category that it's getting a little easier, more difficult, or where do you see them in terms of leadership?
Well, I think that they are starting to see themselves as leaders, certainly more so than past generations. And I think one of the things, and this ties into our conference on Saturday on Title IX, is that women in athletics have a much better time of it now. You know, there are women's teams. So they can be the captain of the team. They can experience leadership in that way, which is helping tremendously. We've got more programs geared to women in leadership, women in business, at our local colleges and universities. AAUW has several programs targeting young women, one being our National Conference for College Women Student Leaders that happens in June every year, where women undergraduate and graduate women from across the country come together. And the focus is leadership skills, networking, you know, really hands-on approach. How do you do it? What's it like? The other program, and Barbara can perhaps even speak to this better than I, is the ELECTER program that AUW does on college campuses, and we had that last year at UMass Dartmouth, where they learn how to run a campaign. So these are the kind of tools and experiences that young women need. They don't really get them, so we're starting to work at that level.
Right. Speaking of that, let's talk a little bit about the conference coming up on Saturday. This is a state conference, and Liz, you can start, and then Barbara, kick in as needed.
Okay, certainly. Our focus this year is Title IX, and one of the reasons that we have looked at this and decided that we needed sort of a refresher. Title IX has been around for a while, the legislation that requires that there be equal opportunity, not only in sports, but other programs that are offered on campus to women. But this program is vulnerable, and there have been all kinds of possible legislative changes and whatever to deflate its effectiveness. I think Barbara can probably speak to that even more so than I can, but we decided we needed another look at that, and we needed to see what's happening now. AAUW also has a specific kind of program that you can run on the high school level. What's going on in high school sports? You know, when things get cut.
Right.
What's going to get cut, the boys' football team or, you know, the girls' soccer team? And we can pretty much tell
you
where that's
going to
go.
We know what gets cut first, yes.
Right. So in terms of our program, I'm going to let Barbara speak to that a little more. She's our program VP, and she's got
great
a handle on that.
Barbara, take it away. Tell us about Saturday.
Thank you. About Saturday. And my passion for this also is my oldest daughter was the basketball captain and the softball captain on her team in high school, but the women always took second place to the men even when they were first place. I remember her being on a, what we used to call CCD, you know, Catholic Christian girls team, and she was 13 or 14, and she said to me, "Mom, we won first place and the boys won second place, but the boys got the jackets and we got the sweatshirts. How come? That's not fair."
Wow.
So the girls noticed it from a very, very early age. And on the AAUW website, it talks about the position on equity in school athletics. We know we're talking about leadership here. We're talking about women becoming leaders. And one of the bullets says, girls thrive when they participate in sports and are less likely to get pregnant, drop out of school, do drugs, smoke, or develop mental illnesses. And girls who participate in sports have a good work ethic and a good school ethic. I mentioned to folks, my daughters, both of my daughters, and the younger one wasn't quite as active as the oldest one, but she was on the basketball team as well. They did go through school and they did go through college and they both have great jobs. And it really made a difference, and I could tell it through anybody in our family that it helped them with team sports. So we have coming up this weekend Diana Katia, who is the Wheelock director of actually they call it now sports. Based initiatives. I always say the director of athletics, but they've changed it to sports-based initiatives.
They've upgraded it.
That's a wonderful thing.
Great.
And of course, we couldn't lose sight of the fact that we are having our very own host right here, Carol Copeland-Thomas, on
the panel
as well.
I'm honored to be a part of that panel, definitely.
Yes, and Carol, you were hoping to be part of that panel, and I'm so glad you are. The morning will be our annual meeting, and, you know, we have some state business to do, but we'll have lunch. It's at UMass Boston, the Healy Library, the 11th floor, and lunch is at 12 o'clock. And after lunch, we will be having a speaker from National, and I'll throw it back on Liz for that. But there will be a nice panel talking to Diana, who also was the executive director of the Massachusetts Governor's Committee on Physical Fitness and Sport. I met her last November at a CARE conference they had at Wheelock College, and she was talking the same thing you did, Carol, a bit about she had spoken on behalf of AAUW in the past, knows AAUW's initiatives, and thinks of all the wonderful things that we do to help mentor young girls into leaders. But again, the fact that we even exist and there are 100,000, close to 100,000 women across the nation who are ready to mentor these young girls seems to have gotten lost somewhere in history, and we need to bring that back to the fore.
Well, that sounds great. Liz, tell us about the keynote speaker tomorrow afternoon.
Yes, our keynote speaker is Chris Wolf. Chris is on the National Board of Directors for AAUW. She's coming from California. She has served in multiple roles on the national level and state president of California. So she will come to really talk to us about what's happening nationally and some changes, AAUW business kinds of changes. But, you know, she can speak quite well to any aspect of AAUW. She's been involved for many years, and she's a great speaker and leader. So we're looking forward to that. I wanted to mention also that at lunchtime, we will be having a speaker, one of our Educational Foundation fellows, a young woman from Nepal, and I am looking for her name, and I won't even begin to try to pronounce it, because
okay.
I'm sure I'll be wrong. But she will be speaking, and I just have to put in a plug for our international fellows. They are just fabulous, fascinating women who
they're phenomenal.
Have struggled to get their education and are so thankful to AAUW for the funding they receive. So we always thoroughly enjoy hearing from them, and they are so gracious as to come and share their research with us. So
that's
that
great.
Will be fabulous.
That's a great time. excellent.
And I'd like to say this.
Yes.
This is Barbara.
Yes,
before
Barbara.
We go too far off, and I know time is short, but we also have a college university chair on our board, Chiedza Mufunde. She's a young woman, very active. We're hoping to bring in so many more young women and diverse women. And we shouldn't just say women, because really AAUW is open to men as well, men and young men. Just they need to just care about our mission, because we know collectively we're going to break that glass ceiling, and it won't be just women doing that. We need the men to buy into the reasons why it's so important for us to do this.
So true.
And lastly, I would like to say, of course, a thank you, a shout out to the Africana Studies Department, Professor Jamadari Kamara, who's helped, and his assistant Annie, and we're also partnering with the Women in Public Policy.
Center for Women in Politics. Right.
Go ahead, Liz.
Yeah, the Center for Women in Politics at UMass Boston, under the leadership of Carol Hardy Fanta and Donna Stewartson, who've been really great help to us.
Super.
And didn't Donna say she
went
to Nick Whistle?
You're really going to have a great event this weekend.
Yeah.
If you want more information, please go to their website, and that's aauw-ma.org. That's aauw-ma.org. And the main AAUW website for the national organization is aauw.org. We have a pretty active chat room going on here, and I'm so glad that my friend Dr. Rhonda Waters is now in the chat room, and she's really appreciating the programs and knowing more about what's going on with AAUW. In closing, both Liz Fregola, who is the state president of AAUW in Massachusetts, and then the branch president for Taunton, Barbara Burgo, what are your closing thoughts about where do we go from here? Certainly the conference this weekend is very helpful, all the research projects, the fellows, the things that AAUW continues to do on the national and international level. How does that relate to your perspective, and where do you see us going? Very quickly, Liz, let's start with Barbara. Barbara Burgo.
Okay. Carol, I'm also the program vice president for the state of Massachusetts, so not only locally, what we need to do is that proverbial pebble in the water so that we can get started again, a resurgence of what your wonderful aunt lived and died to help us with, and then just pass the baton on to the next generation. We've got to bring in more young women and men into AAUW.
Yeah, great. Thank you. And Liz?
And I would, you know, certainly echo what Barbara has said and add that collaboration is the key. Women's groups have to work together. We're planning to do that to set up our major program on human trafficking this fall, working with many other organizations and including the college students in on the planning from the beginning. And I think that's the way to go.
Well, I'm going to go back to my aunt, again, who was a great community worker in Columbus, Georgia, a teacher, lifelong teacher, a great church woman, and she loved AAUW. She had women into her home. She went to their homes. I remember some of the tributes that were given to her when she passed away. So, again, that's where I give my strength. She's my role model, Camilla Thomas, because she was a lifelong and active member within AAUW. And it's probably going to take just that, the women who are currently in the organization being the light and being the carrier so that they can then pull other women, pull younger women on board to keep this organization alive and thriving as it has been doing so for well over 100 years. I want to thank my guests today, both Liz Fregola, who is the Massachusetts State President, and the branch president, Barbara Burgo, who is the branch president for both AAUW. Thank these women so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Carol. It was our pleasure.
Thanks, both of you. Really appreciate that. And I just want to say that, you know, this just is a wake-up call. It's a reminder to people everywhere that we still have a lot of work to do. Women have certainly made great advances. We have Oprah, who is a superstar, a rock star, and has done so very well. We have Martha Stewart and others. But they just represent a fraction of the potential of the women who are out there who need to be in the role. working with nonprofit organizations, working with small businesses, working with corporations, working within our educational system, definitely in government and running for office. So I say hats off to AAUW for the years that they have committed to leadership. Now the rest is going to be up to us. Where are we going to take women beyond Women's History Month, beyond the commemorations that we have, into a new stratosphere of leadership outreach and certainly bringing men with them? Thank you so much. We'll be back with another show in 2 weeks. We'll see you then, and have a great, great day and weekend. See you soon.